Hello and welcome to the Headache Doctor Podcast. We're on this podcast. It's our mission to educate and empower everyone with headaches and migraines so that you can break free from a life of fear of your next headache or migraine and dependence on medication. In today's podcast, we're going to talk about all of the strange things that we have seen improve when we work on restoring function to the neck, jaw, and shoulders. The reason we're talking about this today is because it's helpful to hear your own symptoms and in what I say. When I'm discussing individual cases with people that reach out to us, whether it's through a virtual call or in person, one of the most impactful things is hearing that we've seen someone like them. And it makes sense. You want to know that someone matched your description, went through the process, and saw relief. One of the biggest barriers we have is people feeling that they can't trust the process. They've been let down so many times, whether it's seeing chiropractors, other physical therapists, our healthcare system, whether it's primary care, neurology, the medication. They haven't really been able to find relief, and so it's natural and very understood for them to have a level of skepticism. So if you, the listener, are in that camp, if you're just sort of, in a sense, you've given up hope, you're not even sure if there's really an answer out there for you, this podcast is intended to encourage you, because there's just a lot of weird things, a lot of strange things that symptoms that pop up that have no explanation. And so what I wanted to do is just dedicate this podcast to talking through most of the things. It's probably not a comprehensive list. There's probably things that I'm leaving off just because I've forgot about them over the years. But I tried to compile most of the odd things that, one, likely you are dealing with, and you're not necessarily understanding why it's happening. Or you feel like you're isolated in it because you don't know of anyone else that has these same symptoms. And the physicians or the providers that you're working with don't necessarily have an explanation. We see this stuff all the time, and it's a problem. Okay, so here's me telling you, and I don't exactly know who exactly is listening to this, but I would imagine you have a migraine presentation, a headache presentation, and along with that comes a lot of weird symptoms. So here we go. Nausea. All right. So nausea is the first one that it's very common for people with head pain of any type to have nausea. Vomiting, cyclic vomiting cycle is something we've seen and seen improve. And by the way, that's one of the most debilitating. It just sounds awful. When someone is just stuck in this vomiting cycle and can't really get out of it, we've seen several patients in that scenario. So a lot of people experience nausea, and then there's this subset of people that experience it to an extreme where they're just vomiting over and over and they can't necessarily stop. Okay, so again, everything I'm listing, we've seen, and we've seen it improve with our process. Okay. Light sensitivity. Light sensitivity is you get all this bombardment of pain signal from different areas, whether it's neck, jaw, shoulders, and the brain just becomes hypersensitive to these other sensory inputs. So light sensitivity is very common. It's probably one of the most common things that we see that accompanies the pain itself. We have a green room where patients can come in and receive treatment in the green room. Green light is the actual light that the only light that is therapeutic for someone that is experiencing light sensitivity. So we utilize green light, and it actually works. Ear ringing, so tinnitus or tinnitus. I've heard it said both ways, but ear ringing is definitely it's less common. It's usually one of those things that pops up when someone comes to us with headaches or migraines, and we just have to ask more questions and dig deeper, and they say, "Oh yeah, my right ear rings or both ears ring." And so, ear ringing in the way I would explain that is just the association or the close proximity of this upper part of the neck and that tension translating into impacting the ear and specifically the eustachian tube. So there's pressure built up. Oftentimes it has to do with how much pressure is in the ear, and that impacts the ear's ability to function normally, and ringing is just a kind of a side effect of that. One-sided weakness, numbness, or tingling. So this would fall under the hemiplegic migraine category and presents like a stroke and is very scary. Usually this scenario, when we see someone like this, they've already, you know, either been to the emergency room or definitely had all the scans to make sure that there's it's not an actual stroke. And once it's cleared and there's nothing that's really found, it'll go on for a period of time, and then they'll land in our office and say, I've been diagnosed with hemiplegic migraine, and I wonder if you can help. And we've helped several people in that scenario. Brain fog is a tricky one for a lot of people because it just seems so disconnected from anything physical. It just feels like your brain in particular is the problem, which makes sense because you can't really think straight. You're sluggish in your ability to communicate, to work efficiently, to think through, problem solve, and it impacts your day. Oftentimes this pops up with your work day and you're trying to be productive. You're trying to push through, you know, the demands of your job are there, but you just can't really function well. This could also be really frustrating because it's hard to describe this. It's even more difficult to understand for like coworkers or an employer, as opposed to like my head is pounding and hurts really bad. We see it. It's not uncommon for people to have brain fog as their primary issue, as the primary thing that's driving their disability or their inability to just perform daily activities. And so brain fog is a big one. And I would say it's not uncommon for people to have brain fog. And yeah, I would say if someone presents with a migraine presentation, so the debilitating pain that comes and goes, but they generally have this sort of brain fog that's there. And usually it's a little bit more of a constant thing, or it spans more of a longer duration than the pain itself. That's usually one of the first things we see go away. And so people, they'll go through a process, they'll see the brain fog reduce, and then the pain itself will reduce later. But there's layers to the symptoms and what the brain is sort of having to deal with. And so if we calm it down a little bit, it becomes less hypersensitive. And oftentimes these sort of strange harder to understand types of symptoms are due to those hypersensitivities. And so just dialing down that pain signal a little bit goes a long way for some of these symptoms. Dizziness is also pretty common. So a lot of our patients feel dizzy, whether that's vertigo or just like you're on a ship, you feel off. Usually that's sort of a constant thing throughout the day, or it may come and go a little bit. Or vertigo or BPPV is more of a sudden onset, real intense dizziness, and lasts for maybe 30 seconds, less than 60. Now, either type, we're going to look at the neck. The low-grade dizziness throughout the day could be what's known as cervicogenic dizziness, which basically just means your neck is really tight and it's throwing off your brain's ability to understand where you are in space. And so, again, work on the neck and that can improve. Difficulty word finding kind of goes with brain fog, but this is another big one. People just, they can't communicate well. And again, you're not functioning at full capacity because your brain is having to deal with this really loud and obnoxious pain signal. And so your brain's other functions tend to slow down. So word finding being one of them. Again, we've seen that go away with our process. Vertigo, like I said, loss of appetite, along with, stomach pain. Yeah. These are really interesting. So, I've had in particular several young patients, like elementary, middle school, high school, that have a presentation of stomach pain as almost like a primary symptom of what they're dealing with. And it's that is even stranger. I mean, going through our healthcare system with stomach pain and hoping that a provider is like, oh, let's look at your neck. It's going to be challenging to make that connection. And so I've even had patients come in. And early on, I wouldn't have necessarily said like, oh, your stomach pain is directly connected to your neck. But I've actually seen more and more patients like this. And I'm realizing that we should almost check like the spine, the neck, the shoulders, the mid-back, low back before we're sending, in certain cases, but sending these patients off to a GI doc, a GI specialist, and they're doing scopes, they're doing imaging, they're doing all these things to try to mitigate the stomach pain when it's, again, it's just the spine and different areas of the spine can refer to the stomach, but I've definitely seen stomach pain as influenced by the neck. The vagus nerve runs through the neck, and tension impacting the vagus nerve can be a part of that, whether it's loss of appetite or the stomach pain itself. Younger patients, stomach pain could be one of the primary symptoms. Now, if you have a kiddo that's having stomach pain and they also get sort of a presentation of headaches or migraines, even if it's not like directly connected, but you just know they have both, I would definitely put a caution out there of they could very well be connected. And then we've got jaw pain, popping, clicking. So any sort of like temporal mandibular dysfunction, so TMD. Oftentimes people refer to the TMJ joint when they're referring to themselves as having issues in that joint. So jaw pain, popping, clicking, the jaw is going to kind of feed off of what the neck is doing. And if there's a lot of tension in the neck, the jaw can be pulled in one direction. It can carry that tension as well. And so working on the neck can help clear that up. And then another interesting one that I thought of is COVID-related nerve pain. So I've had several patients with that were treated, a few that I treated successfully for their migraine presentation, and then they got COVID and had these long COVID symptoms, and their migraine presentation sort of flared up again, along with some other weird nerve pain presentations or like numbness, tingling, and working on their body and finding these tight spots and restoring function actually helped all that. So I would explain that as just they had a heightened level of inflammation and their peripheral nerves were becoming more sensitive, but in combination with the tension that was already there. So if you reduce the tension, even with the extra inflammation from like the post-COVID syndrome or symptoms, we can find some relief. And that's been fascinating. And let's go into some patterns of pain that we have treated effectively here. So again, you're listening to this and you're like, okay, has he seen someone like me? And if I'm not describing you in particular, there's a very good chance we've seen someone like you, because over the past 5 years and people flying from out of state all the time, there's, I would say I'd be hard pressed to say there's a presentation we haven't seen. But here we go. Stabbing behind the eye is relatively common, actually. A vice grip type presentation, really anywhere in the head, forehead, middle of the head, back of the head, that vice grip description is used commonly. Burning in the base of the skull, so on the back side of the head where the neck and the base of the skull meet. Burning, dull, aching sensation back there. We've also got the dull, achy presentation or strap-like presentation in the forehead, or maybe dull and achy around the temples, one side or the other. You also get the stabbing presentation in one temple, really temple, eye, occipital region, meaning the back of the head. That stabbing sensation can really present wherever. Ram's horn presentation is also very common. We tend to like this presentation. It connects more directly to the specific joint in the neck. So if you have pain that starts in the back of the head, wraps up and around, or oftentimes it can start in the front and wrap to the back. So really either direction is fine. Typically that's one side or the other. It's not necessarily like both sides wrapping up and around, although we have seen that. got diffuse daily pain, so like a daily persistent headache or new chronic daily headache. Those presentations, the word is patience there. We need to let the brain calm down. Definitely got podcasts on that if you're wanting to hear more on how we'd go about that process. No pain, just other symptoms. So all those kind of odd things I listed before, we've definitely seen people that don't actually have pain, and they have just the other symptoms. Maybe it's the aura, maybe it's the numbness, tingling. It's called an atypical migraine. Jaw pain-related migraines. So you wake up in the morning, you know you're clenching, grinding, and you feel pain on one side, or that's what triggers your migraine. And then any type of neck pain, so mid-neck pain, shoulder pain that sort of translates up to your neck, one side of the neck, both sides of the neck. And then, of course, headaches from the shoulders. So if you know that your shoulder is involved and you pinch on your shoulder, or you have tension that develops and you feel it in your shoulder and then it translates to your head, yeah, absolutely. We see that commonly. And then diagnoses. So if you're listening and you're like, okay, well, what about this specific diagnosis? Because I've got other podcasts on this that talk about the diagnosis and what to look for, what to be careful for when understanding your diagnosis. So go back and listen to find those episodes on understanding your diagnosis. But migraine with or without aura, that's probably the most common diagnosis that we see here. Now, of course, we're not like the diagnosis when we're interacting with someone. Maybe it's somewhat helpful, but overall, the diagnosis is just a description of your symptoms. So having these diagnoses does give us insight into what potentially your symptoms are presenting like, but very few of them have anything objective underlying that helps us with treatment. And so when we're thinking about getting someone better and actually treating it, we want the objective things, which are not necessarily the diagnosis. So these aren't as important when it comes to treatment, but as far as you, the listener, understanding, okay, have they seen someone like me? Again, hemiplegic migraine, I mentioned that earlier, occipital and trigeminal neuralgia, tension. So that would be the like stabbing pain presentation in the eye or the back of the head. Tension headaches would be that band-like presentation in the forehead. Cervicogenic headaches, pain typically on one side in the neck that wraps up and around. Chronic daily headaches, so that's the daily presentation. New daily persistent headaches, kind of similar. The pain just pops up out of nowhere, and then it's there every day. It's constant. It doesn't really go away. So there are definitely other diagnoses. Those are the ones. Those are the main ones I came up with off the top of my head. And no pun intended there. But the migraine with and without aura is probably the most common one that we see. The point of this podcast is really to encourage you, the listener, to not feel alone, to not feel like there's not any option. With our model, with the three-spoke framework, and the process that we take people through, it really is. It's getting back to the basics. It's understanding that these principles are true for everyone. And so we don't necessarily take the diagnosis or the presentation of pain. And I guess there are things in the presentation of pain that we'd say, okay, this is probably happening, which means our treatment's going to look a little bit like this. But overall, the basic principle is your body needs to function. Your body needs to move. There's a proper way for it moving because it's objectively true that a joint and the shape of the joint and how it was designed was either the rotate or side bend or nod or extend. And so we understand the anatomy, we understand the biomechanics, we understand what each muscle is intended to do. It contracts and relax and it pulls in a specific pattern. And then how all of those come together in coordinated movements that are efficient and not increasing the amount of stress that's running through our system and ultimately leading to this tension that we experience, this pain that we experience, but restoring function, putting time on your side, and then educating people so that they know how to take care of their own bodies, of their neck, of their shoulders, and they don't have to be reliant on medication. Now, the principles are true. It's not as if you say, well, I have a migraine, but it's I don't think it's coming from my neck, so I don't need to pay attention to my neck. No, that's not a thing. If you have a neck, if you have a jaw, if you have shoulders, we need to be doing things to make sure they're functioning like they should. Otherwise, as time goes on, we're very likely to see an increase in tension and a pain signal eventually that's sent. And the way that presents is as a headache. And that's why so many people have headaches. I tell people all the time, it's like, it's as if I'm living in a world, as if I was a dentist living in a world where no one knew how to brush their teeth or floss and didn't know that diet impacted their teeth. And I was spreading the message that we need to brush our teeth and floss and that your teeth hurt because there's cavities and there's a process to go through to help correct that. That may seem like maybe an extreme example. It feels, I think it feels fair in my mind, to be honest. It may even seem that, the one dentist in a world like that. Basically what I'm saying, I'm not highlighting myself. I'm saying that we need to move and the basics, I want to highlight that just the basics and the fundamentals of this are true. And just like we wouldn't question the fact that we need to brush or floss or at least take care of our teeth to some extent, we should also not disregard the fact that we should take care of our neck, shoulders, and jaw and that there's this connection between them and the head. I think if we can get there, we can make a lot of progress because we don't have to rely on meds as much when we start taking the steps in that direction. If you want to learn more, just search back in previous podcasts. There's a ton of topics. Use it as a library. Find a few topics. Find a few diagnoses that I talk specifically about. Listen to them. And then ultimately, I want you to start making changes in your life. Reach out to us if you're not sure what that looks like. We can set up a plan for you. If you're here in Colorado or want to travel to us, we can also talk about what that would look like. I'm here and we are here at Novera Headache Center to help educate and empower you so that you can break free from a life of fear of your next headache or migraine and dependence on medication. I'll see you next week. Hey guys, I just wanted to say thank you so much for listening to the Headache Doctor podcast. I know that you have a lot of options in how you spend your time and how you consume information around headaches and migraines. I just wanted a quick ask because the only way that we grow this podcast and continue this mission is if you subscribe, share this podcast, and of course, leave us a 5-star review. Those are cherished, and it makes my day when I see someone's story come through as a 5-star review and how this podcast has been able to help you. Thank you so much again for listening to the Headache Doctor podcast, and I'll see you next week.